Be reading from John chapter 15, John 15 verses 9 through 17. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father and have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another.
I really hate to see this series of lessons come to a close. We have been talking about joy all month, and it has really helped me in my studies. It has helped me in my thinking. It has helped me to be a better person. And once I realized what was right underneath my nose, I couldn't help but want to study more about it. And when we stop and we consider the joy that God wants us to have, that calm delight, that cheerfulness, that glee, which comes from obeying the commands of Almighty God. No wonder one who is a child of God, walking in the steps of Jesus Christ, keeping his commandments, can actually have a smile on their face, can actually have joy in their heart, and have a hopeful expectation of seeing the very one in whom our dear brother, Brother Royce, was talking about a few minutes ago, Jesus the Christ, the selfless one. No wonder, as the people of God, those of us who truly understand the promises that are awaiting us, we can say that it is a joy for us to even be here this morning. But why? Because we are doing what God has commanded us to do. The more I consider the idea of joy and the joy of simply obeying, the more I realize how much God truly loves us. If you're visiting with us, I want to let you know you are indeed our honored guest. You'll see the QR code that is to my right, and you'll see the notes that we're going to be considering on this morning. When I consider the joy of obeying, if you believe it or not, I only have one point. But it's manifested in three subpoints. When we consider the joy of obeying, I can't help but to think about verses 9 through 17, and we see the reciprocal nature of the love that Jesus has for the Father and the Father had for Jesus. And in verse 9 and 10, we see something that's very, very powerful. Appreciate Brother Mark reading. We will consider these passages as we look at them together. Notice Jesus' words as he is talking to his disciples, i.e. his apostles. And he says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Remain, abide, be continual in my love. If you love me, now notice this, if you love my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Here we see that Jesus abided in the love of his Father. The love of his Father was the commandments. God the Father gave Jesus multiple commandments. But one that I really want us to magnify and consider is in John chapter 17, verse number 17, John 10 rather, verse 17 and 18, where the Father commanded Jesus to give his life. Again, Brother Royce, the selfless one. Here the Father, as he commands the Word to put on flesh, and he puts on flesh for the sole nature of giving his life for the sheep. In verse number 17, in verse number 18, here we see in John chapter 10, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, verse 18, but I lay it down of myself. Notice the selflessness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. He says, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Hold on. Jesus has given us a command too, to lay down our lives. We lay down our lives, especially as members of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, by denying ourselves on a daily basis, Luke 9:23. You don't get no more basic than that. Every single day, we have to make up our minds to live for the one that died for us every day, which means that I am never navigating my life. I'm always under the navigation of the King, Jesus Christ. He leads me. He guides me. True joy is when I submit my will to his will. No wonder Jesus, as he is on the cross, he can see beyond the cross, Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses. When we see the life of Christ and him being on the cross, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. One brother said at one time, he was making a comment on Hebrews 12, the first three verses, and he said he could see him sitting on the right hand of God, and that was his thrust. But the only way he could do that was to give his life and die. That's what he did. I see why many don't have the joy that God will have them to have, because they're not willing to die to self. The hardest person to die to is self. And God is teaching us on a daily basis that if you're really wanting to have that calm delight, that cheerfulness, that glee, that joy, you have to learn how to die. And that's a process. But look at John 15, look at verses 11 through verse number 14. We see the reciprocal love of Jesus and his obedient followers. Friends, the goal that Jesus has for us is to simply obey him. These things I have spoken to you, as he is talking directly to his apostles, disciples, that my joy may remain, meaning continue, stay in you. Notice what he says there. He wanted something to remain in them. The joy, the glee, the gladness, the cheerfulness. I guarantee you, if you continue to follow in the commandments of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, it doesn't matter what comes your way, you will have the joy that God will have you to have. Does not mean that you're going to be happy all the time, and it does not mean that it's always going to go my way, but it does mean that I'm going to have the cheerfulness that he promised. Christianity is about having that joy, that cheerfulness, that glee, which only comes, friends, from obedience, not disobedience. When one disobeys the commandments of Almighty God and they live in that state, they're not supposed to be joyous. As a matter of fact, the proverbial writer would say this. He would say that, I just lost it. The way of a transgressor, there it is hard. If I'm living in sin, my life is supposed to be hard. If I'm living in sin, I'm not supposed to have joy. If I walked away from God, I am not supposed to be happy. But if I'm walking in his ways, if I'm walking in his ways, there's a joy. Notice I didn't say a happiness, but a joy of knowing I'm doing what is right. And notice what he says in the latter part of verse number 11. And that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No wonder he commands the people of God to love one another. Why? Because the Father loved him He loved the Father. The Father loved him, gave him a command. He loved the Father, kept his commands. That's good parenting skills right there. A good parent is going to command their children just as Abraham did, Brother Ryan, to his children in Genesis 18:19. And God says, I know, for I know he will command his house. Hold on. Children that understand that and understand that parents are walking in the ways of the Lord because they want to walk in the joys of the Lord are going to be obedient to their parents. Parents, pay attention to your children. Just because you bring them to church doesn't mean that they have the church in them. Just because you expose the word of God to them doesn't mean that the word of God is in them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You want to have joy in your life? Obey your parents. It's interesting that Paul, by inspiration, would say there that your life will be long on the earth. There is something about obedience. Reminded of what one brother said on one time, that he said, we put too much emphasis on obedience. God didn't. God put a great emphasis on obedience. Why is that? Because as Samuel would say in 1 Samuel 15 verses 22 and following, to obey is better than sacrifice. Why is that? God, what are you saying there? I want you to do what I say rather than offer a sacrifice of sorrow and repentance unto me. Just do what I say. True joy is doing what authority says. Young people, learn how to obey. Really, as parents, we need to learn how to obey as well. As grandparents, we must learn how to obey. Obey the one whom God has sent. And so, if you look at verse 14, notice what he says there. Matter of fact, if you look at verse number 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one life for his friends. I was considering that and thinking about that. And the more I considered that, I thought about 1 John chapter 3. Turn your Bibles there. Because when we love one another, we serve each other. When we love one another, we honor one another. We encourage one another. We help one another. Yet, friends, all of us must put ourselves in a position to help each other. Spiritually speaking, yes, but also at times, even with our materials. In 1 John 3, starting at verse number 16, now notice what the Bible here says. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, talking about Jesus. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now notice a way that we can lay down our life. In verse number 16:17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Friends, did you see that? How can we help one another? We help one another with what we have. One brother said this, I thought it was very powerful. He was using Proverbs 3 and verse number 9 as it relates to honoring the Lord with your possessions. And he said, the things that God has blessed us with, we ought to be using those to his glory, to his honor, to help one another, to encourage one another. Perhaps the Lord has truly blessed you financially. Well, you ought to use those things to glorify him. Perhaps having people over to your home. Perhaps having people on your ranch. Perhaps having people wherever it may be in order to have Bible studies, to encourage one another, to fellowship with one another. Why? Because we're trying to extend the joy. That joy is amazing. No greater love than a man would lay down his life for his friends. He would be sacrificial. Jesus was sacrificial for us. He sacrificed his life, according to what Paul would say in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, and his sacrifice was a sweet-smelling aroma unto God. When we do likewise, it's a sweet-smelling aroma. Reminded of that Old Testament when the people would bring their sacrifices to the priest. And the priests were responsible for making sure that they filleted the sacrifice according to God's commandments. And it's also powerful that the fat belonged to God, which meant that those who were actually doing the filleting, if you will, and making ready the sacrifice, they had to pay close attention to the details. God wanted the fat. The fat was that which supposed to been burned unto God, and it would come up to God as in smoke, as a sweet smelling aroma. Brother Mike, God is not really concerned about all of those details. Yes, he is. And he deserves it. He deserves us paying attention to our lives, that we may lay down our lives for him, for the Lord, for one another. Greater love than this. Friends, that's great love. We lay down our lives, not just for one another, but for our Lord as well. We ought to lay our lives down. Go back to John chapter 15. True joy is when we truly learn how to lay down our life. It's not about us. It's about the one in whom we're living for. It's not about us. I guarantee you, if my life is about making sure that my wife is well taken care of spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, then she will take care of me in like manner. If my brethren are in need and they're looking out for me and I'm looking out for them, no one goes without. Friends, the more I think about joy, it's seen in so many different ways, yet our God is so specific. And if we look at verse number 14, Jesus would say this, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Remember in John 14 and verse number 15, what Jesus says there? Look at John 14, verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." But in John 15, 14, he says, "You are my friends." I want to talk about the rewards of friendship. The rewards of friendship, if you consider the notes under letter C, we are labeled and considered friends. Friends of God? I can actually be a friend of God. The more I was considering this and I was putting it together over this month, I was like, wow, I can be a friend of God. But I'm a friend of God because he gave me a command. And I'm keeping it. I'm not lying to myself. I'm not deceiving myself. I'm looking at what he says, and I'm doing it to the best of my ability. And so it caused me to think about who were friends of God. Abraham was a friend of God, according to 2 Chronicles 20 and verse number 7. And when we consider this true friendship, we know for a fact that Abraham actually did what God said. He's the father of the faithful. He's the father of not only the Gentiles, but the Jews as well. Hold on. He's our friend. Abraham is the father of the faithful. We are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3:29. And so the more I considered this, what are the benefits? What are the rewards of friendship with God? Turn your Bibles to Psalm 25. Because Jesus says something that's very encouraging in verse 15. And Brother Mark, when you was reading it, I gained more encouragement. He says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends." Why? "For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made it known to you." In Psalm 25, And verse number 14, notice what the Bible here communicates to us. And friends, I hope you receive great encouragement. I hope this causes you to be a joyous people. Why? Because when I consider keeping the commandments of the Lord, being righteous before him, striving to be holy, striving to be right, striving to be just, striving to be a member of the Lord's church, I can't help but to think about the great benefits. Look at verse 14. The secret, if you notice in your notes what I put in there, counsel or conversation with a familiar friend. That's what it literally means in the Hebrew. The counsel or the conversation of a familiar friend. The secret of the Lord is with those who reverence him. And he will show them his covenant. In other words, we get the inside scoop, Brother Chad. Brother Chad, we get the inside information. He says, we're so close. We're so intimate. We have this relationship with one another because of me giving you a command and you keeping the command. I'm letting you know what's on the inside. We do that with one another. There are some people that we give a limited amount of information to. And then there's some people we give a little bit more information to. And then there's people that we consider true friends. We give them all of the information. God says, I have given you my covenant. I've given you information. I've given you commandments. Now I need this in return. I need you not only to do what I say, but listen to what I'm saying and then be part of what I'm saying. Brethren, did you get that? Sometimes I'm driving down the road and I think about some of the commandments of God. I think about his word and I'm like, I just start smiling. I'm in the car all by myself. I'm like, wow. God, you love me that much that you're willing to give me instruction that's going to keep me out of the pitfalls of life? Yes. But then I got to love you enough to trust that what you're saying is true. And I'm going to do it. And I'm reminded of Luke chapter 5 when Peter was out and the disciples, they were out there fishing and they've been toiling all night. And here comes Jesus and he says, cast your net on the right side for a catch. Lord, we toiled all night, caught nothing. But what was his response? He said, nevertheless, at thy word, we will cast. And the next thing you know, Brother Royce, they caught so many fish that they had to ask for help. Come over here. You know, that's the same when it comes to obeying. When you begin to obey the commandments of God, the blessings flow. What blessings? Spiritual. What blessings? Even people want to do things for you because they see that you are an upright, moral, transparent individual. Even those in the world want to do more for you when they see that you live according to godly principles and you have godly character. Can y'all smile? You know it's okay to be a joyous people. I love life. You love life? Maybe you don't love life right now. Maybe because life is real hard right now. If you ever get to a point in your life and you say, well, nobody goes through what I go through, just think about the cross. Just think about the cross. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, consider him, consider him who endured such contradictions of sinners against himself. Friends, the inside scoop. Look at Proverbs 3 and verse number 32. You think about being a friend of God. Are you his friend? Do you have joy in your heart? The joy of the Lord will always point you in the direction of keeping his commandments. It will make you a better husband. It will make you a better father. It will make you a better wife. It will make you a better mother. It will make you a better child. It will make you a better member of the Lord's church. It will make you a better single. It will make you better. It will make you a better grandmother, a better grandfather, a better member of the community. Just having joy. You can tell when people are not joyous. They're just never, never satisfied with life. No optimism, no outlook, nothing to look forward to. Sometimes I think I'm an optimist to a fault. Even my wife just said, She tells me that. There's just so much to look forward to. Doesn't matter how bad it gets. There's always something to look forward to. Always. None of us have ever gone through something so horrible and so hard that we can't look to Jesus and say, if he did it, I can do it. No one. And then I look at what God did through Job, and nobody has ever went through what he went through. And without any miraculous help, Brother Ryan, he made it through. And the only thing that man can say, though he slay me, I will trust him. I know that my Redeemer liveth. What does that mean? I got something to look forward to. In Proverbs 3 and verse 32. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but the secret counsel is with the upright. The joy of obeying. Friends, if we will just make up our minds to obey, we will have the joy of the Lord. Just do what he says because he says it. Take him at his word. Just take him at his word. Trust him. Finally, when we consider how we ought to look to our Lord for the joy that God will have us to have, look at John 15, look at verse 16. I know contextually he's talking to his disciples, his apostles, but I know we can make application for us. But if you notice what he says in verse 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. This is the apostleship. I get that. That you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. I want to focus in on the latter part of that verse. I consider prayer, and I think about the depth of it. And when my joy is waning, look at John 16, 22. When my joy is waning and I find my joy being taken from me, for whatever reason, here his disciples were going through a very difficult time. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's told them on multiple occasions that I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be killed, yet I'm going to be raised. But in verse number 22, he says something. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. It's possible for people to take your joy. And it's possible for you to allow your joy to be taken. Your cheerful delight, your glee, your outlook on life, your hope of eternal life. Here, Jesus says something in John 15, again in verse number 16, ask the Father in my name and he will give you. Hold on. What should I be asking God for? Number one, I ought to be asking him for wisdom. Number two, ought to be asking him for courage. ought to be asking him to have the right attitude toward life eternal. I should be praying for my enemies. I should be praying for my family. You know what? I should be praying for the church. I need to be praying for those who are outside of Christ that they will give us an opportunity to teach them the gospel. You know, when we're praying, we ought to be pouring out our hearts unto the Lord. Why? Because he wants to hear from us. Question. When is the last time you asked God to help you to have more joy? Tonight, come back. We're going to talk about this in a detailed way, and I want to hear some of your thoughts on it. Because if you look at the last little point there, God hears us because of Jesus' name. We should feel empty. Now notice this. I'm just going to read this. Look at what we put there. We should feel empty when we are out of fellowship with God and his word. We ought to feel empty when I know that I'm living in sin. I shouldn't have joy when I'm living in sin. One old preacher said one time, if you're living in sin, you should get no sleep until you get it right. Amen. Amen. Your conscience ought to bother you. Why? Because there's a God in heaven that loves you so much and did so much for you, you ought to say, you know what? I shouldn't live like this. I need to live for the one who died for me. Number two under that, we should feel empty when separation is noticed. As in Saul's life, Saul literally said that the Lord is not speaking to me. He's not answering me. Hold on. Does God have a right not to answer his people if they're not living right, Brother Royce? Absolutely. Absolutely. Here was Saul, who was anointed, appointed by God to be the first king over Israel. And he departed from the living God to the point that God didn't say anything else to him. He would pray unto God and God did not hear him. God did not answer him, rather, because he wasn't living right. We should feel empty when sin has become between us and God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And God does not hear those who are practicing evil. My friends, my brethren, we ought to be a rejoicing people. And again, the very fact that God has given us his word, he has not left us in the dark. He reveals his secret unto us. But I said this to the teenage class a couple of weeks back, and I'll say it to you. It's often said by those in the know that if you want to hide something from someone, put it in a book. Just put it in a book. Because even, unfortunately, most Christians don't read the Bible. And that's unfortunate. Brethren, we ought to be reading the Bible. Since the commandments of God brings joy, and the commandments of God are found in this book, shouldn't we read it? Let me go even further. Shouldn't we obey it? Shouldn't we practice it? Shouldn't we share it? Shouldn't we experience it? I leave you with this. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, the first three verses. I leave you with this. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's true joy right here. Starting at verse number 1, ending at verse number 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, notice the purpose, that you may grow thereby. Notice the benefit. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The word tasted is the idea of experienced. The word gracious literally means useful. Peter, what are you saying? If you're going to experience the God of heaven, you've got to put away some things. You have to put something in your mind, and then you'll see God is actually useful. I see why many are not a joyous people. I see it. It makes sense to me now. This study this month makes a lot of sense to me. I see why people are not joyful. They don't see God, Sister Evelyn, as being useful. They just don't see it. Let me try it my way, and if it doesn't work, I'll come to him if I have time. Brethren, from Genesis 1 to the last verse in the book of Revelation, God is saying, I need you to do one thing. Trust me. just trust me. Jesus can say that because he made a marathon from glory to earth back to glory. And he ran that marathon without any sin. And he's saying, trust me. Follow me. And if he can have joy through all of that, and God raise him up and sit him on his right side and make him to be king, Lord, and master over the kingdom, the church of Christ. No wonder Paul said, and he got it right, follow me even as I follow Christ. Friends, you want to be joyous? Or do you want to walk around, as the old preachers used to say all the time, looking like you're sucking on lemons and persimmons? Yeah. You remember that, Royce? They used to say that? And every time you turn around, Christians look like they're mad. That makes no sense. If anything, you got something to look forward to. What do you have to look forward to? I get to go home and be with God one day. And if everything fails down here, as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, I'm going to be okay. But you got to keep the commandments. Let's have a word of prayer. Let you ponder that for a little bit. If you need special prayer, we'll do that for you. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, we're so thankful for the day. Thankful for this study. Really hate for it to come to an end. Father, we know that you want us to be a joyous people. Even to the point where the Apostle Paul would state that the fruit of the Spirit has joy in it. We have something to look forward to. We can be a cheerful people, but we know that it only comes when we're walking according to the Spirit's teaching. Father, help us to be a people who are willing to humble themselves and to cast off our desires when those desires are not according to your word or they're not acted upon in the right location. Father, help us to encourage one another, to use words that build up each other, to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort one another. Help us to be a joyous people. Father, many of us are very negative because of the world around us. We're cold because of the world around us. Our love has grown cold, and Christianity doesn't even seem to be Christianity. Father, help us to look to your Son, to humble ourselves, to teach our families, to be an example of what spirituality really is. For those of us who love you, Father, help us to love you more by pruning us and helping us to be better. For those of us who don't love you because we're not doing what you have said, pray to Father that they will come in repentance, because your goodness
or to lead men and women to repentance. We love you. We're thankful for you. And we're thankful for what your Son has done for us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to obey the gospel. It's the good news. It's the glad tidings of Jesus Christ. And the very fact that he gave his life and he kept the commands of his Father, everything that you see in the scriptures that Jesus did, the Father told him to do it. And everything that you heard Jesus say, the Father told him to say it. We can trust him. And it paid off for him. And if we follow him, it'll pay off for you. Jesus, what did you command? Well, my Father commanded that one obey the gospel. Jesus tells his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The Father told Jesus to say that. How do we know that? Jesus said, I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father gave me what to say and what to speak. You want to obey Jesus? Lord, Master, King, Ruler? You need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing. He'll cleanse your conscience from dead works. He'll add you to his Son's church. Only thing you have to do is be faithful unto death. And he'll give you the crown of life through repentance, confession, and baptism. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been joyous. And the bottom line, you haven't been joyous because you haven't been keeping the commandments. Friends, let's change our mind today. Let's do what is right today. And watch your life turn around. I promise you. But if you want to remain in a state that lacks joy, go right ahead. But it won't be because of God. It will be because you don't want to humble yourself. Let's do what God says. And watch your whole outlook on life change. Brother Chad, as we stand and as we sing, our Savior's invitation.